Chapter 1. How It All Started. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. No, this is not an adaptation of A Tale of Two Cities. I merely borrow a line from Charles Dickens that aptly sums up a tumultuous time in our nation's history known simply as the 60s. This turbulent decade is infamous for not one or two, but multiple political assassinations, not to mention the debacle known as the Vietnam War, as well as the intensifying of the civil rights movement. Racial tension was at an all-time high, fueling unrest, protests, and riots. This evocative canvas provided the backdrop for an unlikely chain of events, which would bring worldwide attention to race relations in the United States and forever alter the course of two families, one black, the Sims, and one white, the Davids. Marinus and Rosalind Davids lived on a small farm near Spring Valley, Minnesota, with their two young children, Joyce and Gregory. They earned a modest income living off the land, which included growing oats, corn, and soybeans. Meat, milk, and eggs were provided via the family's livestock and poultry. Their lifestyle was simple and their work ethic strong, as was their Christian faith, which sustained them during difficult times. While Marinus tended the land and animals, Rosalind cooked, canned, and taught piano lessons to supplement the family's income. Those who knew them would tell you that Rosalind was the most godly woman they knew, and Marinus, Sharky as he was known to his friends, after Jack Sharky, the iconic boxer, the most gentle and humble of men. Our story actually begins in the previous decade, June of 1959 to be more precise. One of Rosalind's favorite pastimes was listening to the radio, specifically to programs she found informative and/or inspirational. One such program was Image Series. This NBC-sponsored foray into current events and issues featured as host the prominent writer and columnist Bob Considine. As part of a subseries, Image Minorities, the topic one evening was the plight of black families in urban America. His guest was a Mr. David Sims. He, his wife Ruby, and at the time 8 children, lived in South Bend, Indiana. David lamented that he could not find and keep steady employment thanks to the politics and economics of the times. They lived off a scant weekly unemployment check, which wasn't even enough to put adequate food on the table, let alone pay the rent and other expenses. What really perked up Rosalind's ears was a comment made by Mr. Sims that he had never been invited into a white person's home as a guest. Rosalind was the kind of person who would right every wrong, were it within her power to do so. While other folks might have simply been aghast by the comment, Rosalind was spurred to take action. She turned to her husband, who had recently come into the house from milking cows, and joined her at the dining room table with a twinkle in her eye that Marinus had come to know all too well. And the two began discussing the ramifications of inviting to their rural Minnesota home an African-American family of 10 they had never met, some 446 miles away. Having agreed upon this course of action, Rosalind got in touch with the local radio station that aired the program, KROC out of Rochester. Her request to get contact information on the Sims was denied, standard operating procedure for a radio station, especially given the circumstances. It was eventually agreed upon that she could write the Sims, informing them of her offer. The station would forward the letter to NBC Studios in New York. With any luck, it would reach the producer of Image Series program, the legendary Peter LaSalle, who would then, hopefully, forward her correspondence to Mr. Sims. For that, a courier would be needed. Enter one Dennis Dowdell of the South Bend Urban League. Considine had utilized Dowdell to secure someone who could adequately portray the sad state of affairs for most black families trying to make ends meet in white America. Mr. Sims was that someone. Despite the preponderance of potential pitfalls, the letter did arrive at its final destination, a testament to the diligence of everyone involved. Upon receipt of the magnanimous missive, Mr. Sims was floored that any white family would make such an offer, and he certainly did not suffer from a lack of opinions on how to handle the matter. Many friends and family were skeptical of the proposition and advised that he turn it down, lest it be a ruse to lynch them. Despite this,